Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, Sue Perkins here, and as the Minute Waltz fades away, what a joy it is to welcome you to Just a Minute. Time now, of course, to introduce you to the four wonderful players who are playing Just a Minute this week. They are Paul Merton, Rachel Paris, Carriad Lloyd, and Patterson Joseph. Please whoop and cheer for all four of them. I'll be asking them all to speak on a subject I give them for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating, but in a format twist, we're doing it in swimwear today. Let's see how that goes. Rachel, hello, lovely. We're going to start with you.
All right.
Now, the subject on the card is my perfect roast dinner. Is it lamb? Is it chicken? Is it a vegetable alternative? Well, we're going to find out. Can you speak without hesitating, repeating or deviating on my perfect roast dinner? Your time starts now.
My perfect roast dinner would most certainly be cooked by my husband, who is the chef of the household. Thank God. I am not good in the kitchen in that way, and I would expect him to...
Patterson.
Because we're all curious. So you're not good in the kitchen in that way,
in
but...
That way.
I wouldn't dare to say.
Well, we've just left it there, that there are other ways that Rachel is good in the kitchen.
Sorry, I buzzed for curiosity. That's not right.
I enjoyed it, though, very, very much, and I want you to know that. I'm not going to give you a point for it, so in many ways it was meaningless within the framework of winning the game. So, 46 seconds remaining. You keep the subject, Rachel, which, to remind everyone, is my perfect roast dinner, and your time starts now.
My perfect roast dinner is a book for a child that was written in one of those playtime volumes that is in very simple language, like My First Playground or My Favourite...
Oh,
there was a hesitation.
There was a hesitation. And that means you get the subject with 30 seconds remaining, my perfect roast dinner, and your time starts now.
I think back to the perfect roast dinners that my mother used to make in the 1960s. It was always the same, roast chicken, roast potatoes, peas. That was about it, really. But they were always very nice. We used to have that after church, and I remember looking forward to those particular meals on that day of the week. Now, if I was to concoct a perfect roast dinner for myself, I would inevitably start with perhaps a bit of pork, lamb, beef. You will see all these things when you go to carveries on a Sunday at the local pub. And I suppose it stops you buying it for yourself and then taking it home and dubs. Photo finish.
That was a photo finish.
Go to VAR.
Carry a buzz with 0.something seconds to go. What was your challenge out of interest?
Well, he got a bit flustered and the words stopped coming.
Yes,
I would
a
say.
Hesitant,
that's the word.
He was, you know, befuddled.
Unbuzzing hesitation on Carriad's challenge.
Yes.
Yes. It was a helpful buzz. I think it was a correct challenge. It happened just before the buzzer, but it seems a little unfair with 0.something seconds to go. So I'm going to give you the point, and you can both, with 0.5 seconds remaining, have the subject together, which is my perfect roast dinner. Your time both starts now.
Brussels sprouts.
Paul, you were speaking as the whistle went, along with Carriad. You both get the point there. And Patterson, you are next. Your subject is my best party trick. We've all got one. Rachel does hers in the kitchen. What can you tell us about my best party trick in 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating? Your time starts now.
My best party trick is to be the entertainer for about 5 minutes when I get there and then disappear into the wallpaper. And then I'll leave without anybody knowing. My best party trick is to know just when people are bit too four sheets to the wind and I need to leave now. My best party trick is getting up.
Carriad.
Well, I was just getting to the good stuff.
Oh, sorry. Apart from making the assumption that you are a ghost at parties, I think it was a bit of hesitation there.
True.
A bit of hesitation.
I admit it.
Yeah, there was some hesitation there. Yeah. There was. But like you, I was considering the disappearing into the wallpaper as...
Yeah, I was like, he said that very casually, as if we all disappear into wallpaper.
Right, that was a successful challenge. 33 seconds on the clock. My best party trick is with you starting now.
My best party trick used to be that I could get my foot to touch my head around this way. You can't see what I'm doing, but it's sort of an external angle. I'm not good at maths. And then as I got older, my knees began to betray me. And when I would try and do this party trick, they would crack and make a sound very like Velcro. I went immediately to the doctor who said, ha-ha.
Oh, only in this light entertainment show is the sound of laughter a deadly force.
A deadly one, yeah.
Unfortunately, the doctor laughed too much.
Yes. I agree with you. He did. It was a medical problem. He should not have laughed.
Correct challenge of, I'm assuming, repetition.
Yes.
12 seconds on the clock for you, Paul, with your subject being my best party trick, starting now.
I wasn't particularly popular at parties. I used to go in, steal stuff and then disappear very quickly. And I was reported to the police for doing this and I appeared on several shows. Crime Watch was one I was particularly fond of. And I said to somebody once, do you know what...
Paul there speaking as the whistle went, gets the point, and Carrie Edward with you. This is a childhood classic, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. 60 seconds, please, to dazzle us on that subject, and your time starts now.
The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe is written by C.S. Lewis, who was actually born in Belfast, a fact that I didn't know until very recently. He is most famous for the book The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, which is, of course, actually a series of novels called The Chronicles of Narnia. These are listed in different orders depending where you find them, because he wrote them out of order, and yet they are published in a different way as well. Voyage of the Dawn Treader is one of them, as is The Magician's Nephew. And there's a silver chair. I believe a horse and a boy may be involved, and I'm sure the Da Vinci Code is him as well. C.S. Lewis was a wonderful writer, and if we can all recall, what he did mostly was...
Paul.
Did we repeat C.S. Lewis?
Yeah, there was repetition of C.S.
Lewis. Yes, there was.
So, yeah. Sadly, do you know how well you went there?
How did I do?
You did really well. You did 45 seconds.
Oh.
Stunning. Thank you. But a correct challenge by Paul means he now has the subject with 15 seconds remaining on The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, starting now.
When I was a young boy, part of my fantasy was to hide in a wardrobe and meet a lion and a witch, but it never happened. I suppose it wasn't quite right, the sort of wardrobe that you needed to be in. C.S. Lewis...
Carry on.
I was going to say repetition of wardrobe, but that's in the title, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, it's in the title. Your knowledge of C.S. Lewis, I hate to trigger you by saying C.S. Lewis again, but... was unparalleled.
I'm a big fan. And also what I realised is I thought in my head the subject was C.S. Lewis, so I could keep saying that. And then that's why I questioned Paul about repeating wardrobe, because I was like, that's not the title. But it is. And that's a good lesson in listening.
We've all learned. Paul, it's still with you. 6 seconds on The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. And it starts now.
My perfect roast dinner would consist of a lion, a witch... What's happened now?
Slight deviation from the subject, Paul.
No. As you heard, my favourite roast dinner would be the lion, the witch, and the wardrobe.
I can make a case for a lion, albeit there's a conservation issue at the very heart of that, which is shaming.
Yeah.
Which, you know, have we not moved on from Salem and the abominable treatment of women, Paul? But when you came to wardrobe, enough is enough.
No, but I was buzzed before I got to wardrobe.
True. Even so, I'm going to give it to Patterson because I enjoyed it.
Fair enough.
And he's given me a winsome smile and I can't resist it. OK, 3 seconds remaining, Patterson. It's all yours starting now.
The very first book that I got obsessed with was The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe.
At the end of that round, let's take a gander at the scores. We have Rachel in third place, in joint second we have Patterson and Carriad, and out in front we have Mr. Paul Merton. Round two is upon us, and we're going to start with you again, Rachel. And the subject is, if I were invisible for 1 hour. Quite specific. If I were invisible for 1 hour. Tell us all about that without hesitating, repeating or deviating, starting now.
If I were invisible for 1 hour, I would shoplift, probably. I think in that space and time, that is all that would be achievable. I would definitely go to a local shop of mine called Lark, which sells those fancy goods like scented candles and beautiful knitwear and things for men, but they smell like bullets and guns and things like that. And so it's okay for men to have them. And I would...
Paul.
Repetition of Men.
Yes. Classic me.
I'm going to go to that shop because I I don't know about you, but I want to smell what a waistcoat that whiffs of bullets is like.
Yes.
I loved it. It was a beautiful flight of fancy. Paul, correct challenge, 31 seconds remaining on If I Were Invisible for 1 hour. Your time starts now.
If I were invisible for 1 hour, I'd kick the perfect roast dinner inside a wardrobe and it would be absolutely fantastic. Going shoplifting would be one thing, although I think probably the people working in the shop would wonder why the goods were floating out midair through the window. Meanwhile, if I was invisible for 1 hour, I would probably fight for...
Carriad.
It's a little bit of a hesitation.
It was. It was a characteristic bit of hesitation.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, we give you that point. 15 seconds, Carriad, on If I Were Invisible for 1 hour, starting now.
If I was invisible for 1 hour, I would wait outside the shop Lark for Rachel Paris. And then when she walked out, I would take the gifts that she had stolen from the aforementioned merchantile place, and I would steal them for my own use.
Paul.
Repetition of steal.
It was a repetition of steal.
It's you wrong, however many times you say it, it's wrong to steal.
It is.
And that's important that we don't glamorise stealing.
I think you and Rachel have made a very strong case for glamorising stealing.
And we've been caught out both times, see?
It's so true, you're right.
It's important.
This is a morality tale, if
yes, anything. Yes, yeah, it's Dickensian.
Can I just say, what I love as well is Rachel saying, really the only thing that I could do in 1 hour being invisible is shoplifting. Nothing. Go-to. Paul has challenged correctly with 1 second remaining.
Oh.
I share your anger.
Your 1 second begins now.
I would kiss C.S. Lewis in a wardrobe.
Paul gets the point and the next subject, which is the last time I cooked for Sue Perkins. Paul, can you speak for 60 seconds on the last time I cooked for Sue Perkins? And your time starts now.
The last time I cooked for Sue Perkins, it was the most extraordinary meal. We started with coq au vin, and there were spring onions, new potatoes, purple sprouting broccoli, and all kinds of fish fingers. And I put them all into a blender, mixed it up for 5 minutes, and put the whole slop onto a plate. And Sue put a straw into it and sucked up the goodness through that paper tube and said to herself, oh, this is delicious. There were other guests there, the current Archbishop of Canterbury. She was there. Other archbishops are available. And...
Rachel.
I was going to say archbishop, but it was archbishops.
There was a plural and a singular.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Do you know what, Rachel? I'm going to give you a point because actually I needed that breathing space. I was getting quite triggered. Being reminded of that meal.
You said it was nice.
Well, what I could say between the straw and the gunk. So, 30 seconds on that subject. It's back with you, Paul. The last time I cooked for Sue Perkins, starting now.
Then, of course, you come to the cheese course. There are a selection of different cheeses.
Carriad.
Repetition of course. Of course, we come to the cheese course.
Oh, yes.
Yes, it's a great challenge.
I wasn't sure.
Good ears, Carriad, good ears.
It's a correct challenge. You get 26 seconds remaining on the last time I cooked for Sue Perkins, starting now.
The last time I cooked for Sue Perkins, I made her a cake because I am excellent at baking. I started with a pavlova. Now, pavlova... I was too invested in telling you how to make good pavlova. I wanted you to know.
Can I just say I've really had enough of people making pavlovas? If I never see one again, it's fine by me. Much as I know yours are a thing of great beauty.
They are really great.
They really
are. You
were
very nice about it on the night.
Oh, that's nice to hear that she is sometimes grateful.
She didn't serve the pavlova blended with a straw. And for that, I was grateful, Paul, because sometimes the palate needs texture.
Cutlery is overrated.
Paul, your challenge.
Repetition of pavlova.
The classic double pavlova,
sadly.
17 seconds remains to you on the last time I cooked for soup. Oh, it's a cheese course, isn't it? Right, OK. It's taking me back. Your time starts now.
For desserts, I produce some Scandinavian iced berries served in an old man's hat, the way they do it in Norway. It's very authentic and traditional. And I remember Sue looked up at me as the ambulance arrived and said, you know, that was the finest stomach pump I think I've ever had in my entire life. And we laughed.
Oh, I've got nostalgic indigestion. if that's a thing. Congratulations, Paul. Speaking as the whistle went, gets the point. Carried, your subject now is double denim. Oh. What can you tell us about double denim? 60 seconds. It won't be enough, I know. Starting now.
Double denim is a real strong, bold choice to make. It is when you decide to wear denim on your top half in a shirt or a gilet, perhaps, and on your bottom, jeans, jeggings. You're creating a complete...
Rachel.
I went a little French, that might be too much for some people. Creatine.
So beautiful, I love
oui,
it, but
merci,
Rachel has challenged.
Un peu d'hésitation.
Oui, un peu, un,
tu un
petit
it?
Peu, non. Je ne coûte du bapon, non, mais c'est... Oh, ben, je l'ai déjà su.
C'est seulement un peu, mais...
Et seulement?
Ce n'est pas sérieux. Ce n'est pas grave.
C'est une déviation d'anglais.
Oui.
I just like to point out I did metal work.
There was a little...
Yes.
But you're right. I mean, it had a wonderful slip-slidey sort of franglais to it. And I enjoyed both of those interactions immeasurably. It doesn't take away from the fact that Rachel is gunning for you tonight. And this is... It's targeted harassment, admittedly done in the most benign and europhilic way. So, it's a correct challenge. 44 seconds remain for you on double denim, Rachel. Let's see. I presume you've stolen some from Lark, but we'll find out. Starting now.
Lark wouldn't touch double denim with a barge pole, representing, as it does, an era in the early noughties when I think of Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake in their heyday and the early years of their marriage, when they'd regularly be seen in Heat magazine, in OK magazine, and...
Oh!
Too much coverage.
There is Sadly. Such a thing as too much publicity.
Yeah.
Correct challenge, Paul. 24 seconds remain on the clock on double denim, and I'm particularly intrigued to hear your take on this, I may say. Your time starts now.
A double denim, as the French would say, is something I've never really...
Qu'est-ce que c'est le problème?
Yeah.
Qu'est-ce que se passe?
Is my microphone died on me?
That's a new challenge.
I did on a little hesitation.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yes, there was a hesitation. I think, did you imagine yourself in double denim?
No, I suddenly realised I was going to become very boring. I know I should have realised this years ago. But I censored myself as I realised I didn't care one way or the other about double denim. But professionally, I do, but emotionally, I don't.
Yeah, well, I can understand that.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing to really get behind.
Exactly.
Patterson, you now have to get behind it, though. It's with you. 19 seconds remain on double denim. It's a subject that will never die. And it starts now.
To continue Paul's boring idea, denim.
Paul, you're buzzed.
He's stealing my material. And quite frankly, I'm glad to get rid of it.
It was a denigration.
Yeah.
Do you have a challenge?
I don't have a challenge within the rules of the game. No.
Denigration,
yeah.
As the Spanish say. So...
So many languages tonight.
Yeah. Yes.
Can we do English, please? It's the only one I know for sure.
So, no real challenge. I'm going to give it back to you, Patterson. 14 seconds, your time starts now.
Nîmes in France. N-I-M-E with a little accent circumflex on top of it, S, is a lovely place where they used to make this textile. The Americans wanted something rough and ready for their cowboys. I think the accent circumflex is over the eye.
It is over the eye, but the fact that denim from Nîmes is where denim comes from has just blown my mind.
Yeah.
Yes, you're welcome, Radio 4.
What I love is the Radio 4 audience happily assembled here in the Radio Theatre just went, yep, knew that,
we
next. We know all the facts, nothing surprising us tonight. All right, so that's the end of our second round. Let's have a little look and see where we're at with the scores. It's still a tight cluster. Patterson is in third position, Carriad and Rachel in second, and striding out ahead, Mr. Paul Burton. Paul, let's see what we've got for you. A pint of Guinness. Mm. Right, other brands, of course, of stout are available. Can you speak for 60 seconds on a pint of Guinness. Your time starts now.
A pint of Guinness, if you buy a pint of Guinness in Dublin, there is a traditional way of serving it. They will pour a glass half full and then leave it on the bar for quite some time, and then a few minutes later they complete the process of giving you the pint. A pint of Guinness is one of those things that not everybody likes drinking. It's got a peculiar taste to it, very strong, very distinctive, two berries.
Carriad.
Sorry, repetition of berries.
Yes, he knew it. Right, that means you get the subject. You've stolen it. 40 seconds remaining. A pint of Guinness and your time starts now.
A pint of Guinness is what my mother was offered after she gave birth to myself and my brother. It was the 80s when they would decide that the most important thing that should happen to you after you had given life to someone else...
Watson.
I think there was a repetition of giving.
Mm. Giving and given, I believe.
Are you allowed to defend yourself in this way?
Oh, are you? That's how my family works.
When it gets this closely contested, we open up the cage and start fighting. A potential challenge, but actually, no, I'm going to rule it's not correct. I don't think there was a repetition. So you get to carry on with the subject, Carrie, which to remind, well, frankly, all of us, because we've been drinking the stuff since this morning. A pint of Guinness. Your time starts now.
There is a new social media craze called splitting the G. I don't know if you in the audience are aware of this, but it's where someone downs a pint of Guinness, but they do not drink all of the size of the glass. They consume a certain amount so that the liquid will be... Oh, I didn't say split, but I did hesitate.
What kind of night out is this?
Splitting the G is a big thing. It's a trend, guys. I know, I didn't think anyone would be aware of it, so that's why I was really trying to explain it.
There's one man nodding furiously there in the corner. He'll be splitting the G tonight.
Yeah. He does nothing but split G the whole time.
It sounds ruder than it is. You just drink and the liquid needs to be across the logo of Guinness, so you're splitting the G and people film themselves trying to do it because the world is ending and that's what's happening.
I'm going to split the G tonight and the V because I've got a bottle of that at home. Need to heavily lean in. Oh, Paul, you buzz. Sorry, what's your challenge?
Hesitation.
Yes.
It was. There was a winding down as you were trying to explain splitting the G. And I'm not sure we're any wiser.
No.
No, but you've got 5 seconds. Maybe you can illuminate us. Your time starts now.
The non-alcoholic version of Guinness now sells more than the actual alcoholic one. And that's extraordinary when you think of...
Congratulations, Paul. You're speaking as the whistle went, means you get the point, and we're now in the final round. Oh. And Patterson, the next one is for you, and it is a lone wolf. That deep rumble, I think, will have probably attracted a lot of wolves in the local area. Let's see what you've got to say on the subject of a lone wolf. You've got 60 seconds, starting now.
Imagine a hill, dusk, there is a light. Breeze blowing through the trees, suddenly a rustle, and in the corner there we see a lone wolf as it pads softly across the grass of Wilsdon Green. It wonders what the heck it's doing there. 1 minute it was in the forests of the...
Yeah, listen, Carrie, you interrupted that majesty.
I know, and I didn't want to, because
I didn't mean to be so accusatory.
No, but when he said imagine, I closed my eyes and was like, OK, do what the actor's telling you. It's so convincing. But there was a bit of hesitation that just...
There was a little bit. Yeah.
Because I was making it up. Is that OK? Is that allowed?
I'd watch it. If you said to me, I've made a documentary called The Lone Wolf of Wilsdon Green, I'm in. That's me for the evening.
Can I call it The Lone Fox of Wilsdon Green? Because wolves are hard to get in that end of the world.
You might lose your funding.
Carrie, it was a great challenge. You get the point, you get the subject. 32 seconds remaining on a lone wolf, starting now.
I know a lone wolf. He's very sad, and I'm trying to find him a mate. Wolves don't have a particular dating app, so I have invented Whinge, which is... the name.
Whinge?
I was trying to do wolves and hinge, and I knew I was going to have to say wolves again. So, yeah.
Whinge is good, though.
Thanks.
At my age, I feel that's exactly the app that I need. I'm so past any intimate contact. I just want to really moan about stuff. Just to be heard. to be really truly heard and met with my own pain.
It's not for romance. It's just to meet up and you both whinge at each other. But one of you is a wolf. It's
genuinely
fine.
If you develop that app, I will sign up immediately. Thank you for it. There was a raft of people wanting to complain, but I think Rachel, you got there first.
Uh-huh. So it was hesitation.
Challenge. It was.
Yeah.
You hesitated on whinge. So that means that you have the subject, Rachel, with 19 seconds on the clock. It is, to remind you, a lone wolf, and your time starts now.
When I was a younger woman, I think that the ideal man I thought I would want was a man in a long... Yes, it's man.
Carry out.
It was repetition of man.
Yeah.
So you.
Double man again.
Twice in one game.
Well, what can she say? She knows herself.
Well, listen, you've caught her out again. 10 seconds remaining, Carid, so we can hear a lot more about whinge. Not too much, because that would be extreme deviation from what's on the card, which is a lone wolf. Your time starts now.
If you see a lone wolf, do not approach. They are the very naughtiest type of wolves.
They are the naughtiest type of wolves. My David Attenborough.
Yeah. Terribly naughty.
Yes.
Oh, 10 seconds is a long time, guys.
Patterson, you challenged. What
Tell me there's
challenge?
Only 1 second left. My challenge was hesitation.
Yes, correct challenge. There's not 1 second, unfortunately. There's two. So you've got 2 seconds starting now.
Lone wolves are the most...
Genuinely, you could read a thesaurus and I'd be enraptured, Patterson. You finish that subject, you get the point. And sadly, that's all we've got time for. Thanking you so much for that entirely unelicited expression of emotion. We do have to stop somewhere, and that's the end of the game. They all played marvellously, of course. But before we bring things to a close, let's have a look at those all-important scores. It's, again, a very tightly fought contest. In fourth, we've got Patterson. In third, Rachel. In second place, Carriad, and nudging ahead. And this week's winner, Mr. Paul Merton! And there, my lovelies, we have to leave you. But first of all, thanks to the delightful players of the game. Paul Merton, Rachel Paris, Carriad Lloyd and Patterson Joseph. We're, of course, indebted to Ian Messiter and the gorgeous Nicholas Parsons. We also thank Sarah Nichols for blowing her whistle so indelicately in my left ear. The producer was Georgia Keating, and it was a BBC Studios production for Radio 4. And this is me, Sue Perkins, saying thanks for listening. And do join us again, wherever you are, when we next play Just a Minute. Thank you.